content and material discussed in these podcasts are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for your professional veterinarian's advice, diagnosis, or treatments. Always seek the assistance of your own veterinarian with any questions you may have regarding the medical condition of your pet.
Excuse me, are you in the know? This is a Knowin.co production.
Welcome to another Talking Pets podcast with Dr. Clemens, and thank you so much for your great response to my previous podcast. We all want to keep our pets as healthy as possible, but we're not always sure how to accomplish that. In today's podcast, I will discuss how each of you can do a physical exam on your pets from the tip of the nose to the tip of the tail. I will describe the exact process I used to examine every pet that was scheduled for me to see at my hospital, whether it was a sick animal visit or an annual exam. But before we start on today's topic, this morning as I was walking Annie and Archie, I was thinking how difficult 2020 has been for so many people. So many deaths, job losses, business closings, healthcare workers pushed to the limit, and so many children unable to go to school to learn and socialize with their friends. I have to say, my glass is always more than half full, but this year, I too have felt down in the dumps at times. Thankfully, my wife Donna is always there for me. I have two wonderful sons and five special grandkids. I exercise regularly, play racquetball twice a week, and try to walk our dogs two or three times a day. Now, you know, all of these things bring joy to my life, but the one constant that always cheers me up are our two dogs, Archie and Annie, and our two cats, Joey and Charlie. I can't tell you how much happiness they afford me and Donna. When we leave home, even for a few hours and then return, they act like they haven't seen us for a week. Our cat Joey has to curl up on my lap every morning while I drink my first cup of coffee. Charlie, our other cat, insists on sitting on my lap in the evening when I try to read or write articles. Our dog Archie follows me from room to room, and Annie has to give everyone sweet kisses every day, including the cats. And yes, our dogs sleep with us, I have to admit, but it's a warm feeling when they snuggle closely at night, particularly on a cold night. I'm bringing all of this up because I'm sure the one thing besides family in most cases that has helped so many people with their depression during this pandemic is their pets, especially their dogs. Now, I love our two cats immensely, but for the most part, their love for us is different than a dog's love. Our dogs love us unconditionally and are always there when we need them, never judging us. I have to end this now because Joey, my cat, just jumped on my lap and is purring and rubbing his head on my pen, making it impossible for me to write. Now back to today's podcast. I'm not sure what to call it, but I guess it will be how to do a regular physical exam on your pets. You all take your dogs and cats to your veterinarian every year for an annual exam, maybe a heartworm test and fecal check and necessary vaccinations. I've always felt the annual exam was the most important part of the annual visit, especially for older pets. Today, I will attempt to provide a roadmap for you to follow in order to perform a physical exam on your own dogs or cats. So let's get started. It's important to do your exam in an area with good lighting, because without good lighting, you really can't see things very well. Cats and small dogs should be examined at tabletop height. The first thing I always try to do is to pet the animal to calm it down and be sure it's not frightened. It also is helpful to have tasty treats ready to offer as rewards for good behavior. As I'm stroking the animal's head, I first examine the eyes. The conjunctiva, or white portion, should be mostly white with very few blood vessels present. If the conjunctiva, this white part, looks red or inflamed, your pet could have conjunctivitis, either bacterial or allergic, a scratch on the cornea, dry eye from too few tears, or with older animals, glaucoma. There should be minimal discharge from the eyes or matter collecting in the hair where the lids meet closer to the nose, down in the corner. If there's a lot of watery discharge, thick brown discharge, or blood vessels that look like a roadmap, or if your pet is squinting or rubbing his face on things, you need to take your pet to see your veterinarian. Now, the clear part of the eye is called the cornea. If it looks cloudy, it could indicate glaucoma or a scratch on the cornea. The inside part of the eyeball has the lens, which should be clear. If you look down into the eye and the cornea is clear, but down inside it looks cloudy, it could indicate cataracts, which develop especially in older pets that have diabetes. Next, I check out the nose for any discharge. Pus can indicate infection, and blood could possibly indicate a possible foreign body or a nasal tumor, or if the animal is sneezing a lot, it could be a nose problem. Next, we move on to the mouth. That is an extremely important part to check out. Of course, the teeth should be white and the gums nice and pink. If the gums are pale, your pet could be anemic. There will always be some odor since animals can't brush, but it should be minimal. First, lift up the lip and examine the upper premolars and molars, those teeth way in the back. When animals eat dry food, it often accumulates in the cheek adjacent to their upper teeth, and over time, this food turns into hard calculus, which will eventually create a pocket with infection under the gums, and eventually leading to gingivitis, gum disease, loss of bone, and tooth loss. The large upper canine teeth, or fangs, also get the same type of calculus accumulation. The edge of the gum where the tooth meets should be pink and not swollen. If this area is red and swollen, we call that gingivitis, and it's caused by bacteria under the gums. There's calculus, redness, swollen gums, rotten or loose teeth. Your veterinarian should definitely be consulted. It's important to have your pet's teeth professionally cleaned before they get severe gum disease and require extraction. Our friends at Odor Exit have generously offered, for our listeners only, a bottle of their amazing odor-eliminating product, Odor Exit, and an ultraviolet black light to find those pet urine stains. This is a $50 value. In my 46 years as a veterinarian, I tried many products that were supposed to eliminate pet odors, but none of them worked as well as Odor Exit. Entering to win is easy. All you have to do is like and share my Facebook page, Talking Pets with Dr. Gary Clements, with one friend. That's it. One winner will be posted monthly on my Facebook page. Good luck and thanks for sharing. The next area that I like to examine are the ears. Ear disease is without a doubt one of the most common reasons people take their dogs to their veterinarian. If your dog has floppy ears, just lift them up and look inside. There should be no foul odor or any dark discharge. Take a tissue on your fingertip and gently wipe the opening, and there should be minimal discharge on the tissue. The opening shouldn't be inflamed. It shouldn't be swollen. It's real important to look at both ears. If there's swelling, inflammation, discharge, and especially if your pet's rubbing or scratching at its ears, call your vet. Ear problems can be very difficult for pets, and if they go on very long, they often get bacterial and yeast infection. Now, as I move towards the rear end, I examine the hair coat and look for any fleas, flea droppings, hair loss, dry skin, anything like that. Now the fun begins. We get to examine your animal's butt. It always amazes me how non-observant some pet owners were concerning the anal area of their dog or cat. I can't tell you how many times someone brought a dog or cat into our clinic because they said it was having trouble having a bowel movement. Once we lifted the tail, we could see what the problem was. First of all, these were usually long-haired animals, and they would usually have fecal matter stuck in the hair around their anus. The hair would be matted across the anal opening, causing a complete blockage of the anus. Man, after we clipped the hair away from the anal opening, fecal matter would come out in a steady stream. Poor, poor animals. Now, as we continue our exam, lift the tail and look at the anal opening for fecal accumulation or inflammation indicating the pet has been scooting or licking. They will often lick at that area or chew at that area if they have allergic dermatitis or if their anal sacs are impacted. The anal sacs are little scent glands under the tail, and they fill up with a real foul-smelling material. When they get excited, they can express that material, and it smells like rotten fish. So if the anal sacs are impacted, your pet will often scoot. Now, on older pets, I always check for lumps or anal masses, which are not uncommon. And particularly in unneutered older male dogs, we often find perianal tumors, so it's important to check there. If male dogs are not neuters, it's always a good idea to check both testicles to see if they're the same size. If one testicle is larger than the other, it could indicate cancer, particularly in older dogs. And doing a rectal exam is important. Next, examine each leg for any abnormalities or masses. Examine each toenail, then flip the foot over to check between the foot pads. Check to see how long the toenails are, especially the dew claw on the inside of the foot. Now, if a dog has allergic skin disease, it will chew between the foot pads and there will be hair loss and inflammation. They'll look just real raw there, and you'll hear your pet chewing on the feet all the time. But without allergic dermatitis, the areas that would be involved would be any combination of face, feet, ears, or the rear end. I'd like to check the animal's body condition, even though all animals are usually weighed on a scale before they enter an exam room. I like to put my hands on each animal, especially those with long hair. Sometimes they would come in, and dogs with long hair, I would put my hand on them, and they would be obese. Other times, I would put my hand on those dogs, and they would feel like a skeleton because they had long hair and people didn't touch them. They couldn't tell if their dog was fat or thin. Now, when I'm feeling them, I like to be able to feel the ribs and the backbone without pushing too hard. There should also be a waistline, meaning the area between the last rib and the hip bone should have an indentation. And I always tell people your pet should be shaped like a peanut and not a sausage. Now, lastly, I gently run my hands over the body from the head to the tail, feeling for any lumps or bumps. If you're doing this at home and you find any lumps or bumps, I always tell clients, just draw a rough diagram of your pet and mark down where the bumps are so when you go to see the veterinarian, it will be more easy for you to find them. Now, when examining unspayed female dogs and even cats, you always want to check the breasts for lumps because many older pets develop breast cancer, the unspayed older pets for sure. I encourage everyone to try to brush their dog's teeth at least weekly and try to trim the toenails at least once a month. Two or three times a year, try to do this complete physical. When you do your regular exams, concentrate on the teeth, the ears, and the feet. The things I've discussed that each of you can do to examine your own pets varies from what we would do as a veterinarian. I would use my stethoscope to listen to the lungs for any abnormal lung sounds, as well as listening to the heart. I would check the heart rate, listen for any signs of valvular heart disease, which would indicate heart murmurs. I would also listen for any abnormal heart rhythms. I would palpate or feel the abdomen, checking for any abnormal masses. And it's not unusual when we have an older dog come in to feel a splenic tumor. And those things can be really big. And if they just rupture, the animals bleed to death very quickly. I always feel for the bladder. Sometimes you can't find it, particularly on bigger dogs. But you can usually find the bladder on smaller dogs or cats. And on cats, you can usually palpate their kidneys, which is important because when kitties get old, their kidneys get old, and you can often feel shrunken kidneys, which would indicate advanced kidney disease. I would always look into the ear canals with an otoscope for any sign of infection or an intact eardrum. If necessary, I would use an ophthalmoscope to look at the internal structures of the eye, such as the lens and the retina. With older cats, I always check the thyroid glands for tumors, which cause a condition called hyperthyroidism, which is not uncommon. With older dogs, we often perform a rectal exam, checking for tumors of the anal sacs and checking the prostate gland in intact male dogs. Well, that's the end of today's podcast. I hope I have provided you with the necessary information to perform a physical exam on your pet. By doing these regular exams, you can detect problems before they become big problems. Thank you so much for joining me on Talking Pets with Dr. Gary Clements. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. I will post it on my Facebook page, Talking Pets with Dr. Gary Clements. If you have questions about this podcast or suggestions about future podcasts, please post them there. So for now, I'm Dr. Gary Clements. Please consider adopting your next pet from a rescue group or animal shelter. Spay neuter your pets, and if God's willing, I'll be back soon with another podcast at Talking Pets with Dr. Gary Clements. And for now, so long, love your pets with all the love they deserve, and have a blessed week.